Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to the Journey Home Outreach Ministries online radio show. This is the edition of Clarifying Your Life with Associate Pastor Kimberly Horvath. And we're going to bring her on the line in a minute. I have a few announcements to make. If you will join me this Friday, the 15th of May, to help celebrate DJ Shaheem's birthday. He's our youth DJ, and he was one of the first artists to actually submit music to the radio show. So we're going to have a big birthday bash for him for an hour and a half. So join me Friday, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. And then join me again on the 19th for House of Inspiration with our resident DJ, DJ Frankie Vibes. On the 26th, the youth will take over the studio again and with Icy the Great and Sister Kenya's Poetry Corner. Okay, my sister, Miss Kimberly Horvath. Pastor, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I am doing wonderful. I really
am. That's good. That's good.
Yes. All is well. And, you know, I'm excited, of course, about what you have to say and what you have
to... Me too.
Got it. You know? Oh, that's good. So I'm going to give you the floor and let you bring the word that God has been speaking to you about.
Thank you. Thank you so much. You know, today's a special day. Today's the May 12th. It is my father's birthday, and he and my mother are away on a cruise. So happy birthday, Dad. I love you. They're enjoying a much-deserved vacation. So they went away on Mother's Day. It's the first time I was not with my mother on Mother's Day.
Wow.
Only the second time in my life that I was not with my father on his birthday. I'm super excited that they're away in Bermuda having a wonderful time. My dad turns 77 today.
God
awesome.
Bless his soul.
Yeah,
God
he's 77
him.
Today.
Yes.
So, and he just retired
Happy
in
birthday,
December,
Dad.
So I'm just excited. Very excited for him and his new life. Yeah.
You
Very
go,
excited.
Dad.
Yes,
that sounds great.
Yeah, so
that
now both my parents are home and retired. And I say retired, but they're actually now moving into. So it's a wonderful thing.
Mm-hmm.
I just had to give that shout out for my dad on his birthday.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely.
Oh, but our Heavenly Father has a word for tonight, and I'm super excited about this. And you know, as I've said in the past, I'm sure. You know, whenever a preacher gets a word to deliver, trust us when we say that word is delivered to us first. And then, God says to us, share this with the people. So just know that there's not anything that we ever share with you that doesn't apply to us. There's no such thing as a word being given that isn't a word for us, too. So I believe that this word is going to be very helpful for a number of people. I think for some people it might be a little bit difficult, but I know that even in the process of it being difficult, it's going to bring them peace. Okay? The topic for tonight is keeping God the center. You know, that's really what it's all about, keeping God the center. You know, I have been, since the beginning of the year, talking to you about goals, about visions, about, you know, just keeping your plans in place. You know, when March rolled around and we were at the end of the first quarter, it was like, wow, 3 months into the year already? Yes, 3 months into the year already, and many people had not even started on their goals for the year. And so I decided, you know, we're in May now. There's only one more month, and then we're going to be at the second quarter of the year next month. All right, so half the year almost through. And I guarantee you that there are many people that still have not really executed part of the plan. But I believe that the missing key is that it is because they're trying to do it all within themselves and they are not keeping God centered. You know, Christians, we were meant to do things a certain way. And oftentimes, our way means doing things in our own strength. And a lot of times you will hear that we get these messages. You do as much as you can do, and then you let God come in and do the rest. Well, I think that that's a very dangerous message to give people. And the reason why is because it will cause people to sometimes not really seek first the kingdom. You know, even in the midst of you doing all that you can do, you need to seek first the kingdom. Because if you don't, you could be doing things that God didn't call you to do. You know, you can say, oh, well, I'm going to go over here and I'm going to go over there, but God didn't ask you to go here and go there. You could say, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, but God didn't ask you to do this and that. And, you know, we get caught up because we think, oh, well, this thing that I'm doing is a good thing. But just because it's a good thing doesn't mean that it's the right thing. You know?
Absolutely.
I'm a firm believer that when God calls you to do something, there is a desire within you that you can't really explain, a willingness, a drive to do it that at times doesn't really even make sense. But the steps and the plans on how to accomplish it, all of that still belongs to God. So I think it's important for people to recognize that we need to keep God centered, because the journey of life is life. You know, we're so busy trying to get to, you know, from point A to point B, and we forget that, you know, and we know that when we get to point B, there's going to be a point C, and when we get to point C, there's going to be a point E. We understand that, but what we don't realize is that those steps between A and B and B and C and E, those steps are our life. Those steps are what we're here for. Those steps are the things that other people who are on the outside looking in to the world of Christianity, that's what they're looking at. They're looking at how we walk and how we manage everything. Not only those who are not Christians, but those who are Christians. Not only those who are new Christians, but those who are seasoned Christians, who are struggling in things themselves. They're looking at other Christians, people that they may be looking up to, who for whatever reason have caught their attention, and we are in their vision, their plane of sight, you know, their horizon. You know, we're in their horizon, we're in their view. And they're looking at us for whatever reason. And I say, it is because God has planted us there for this specific time to help them, to encourage them, to give them wisdom just through our example on how to move forward in the midst of what's going on. So today we're going to talk about seven steps, seven ways to keep God centered. And I'm going to come to you straight from scripture, so I'm going to be giving you scriptures to look at. I'm going to be talking to people from the Message version. I challenge you to write this down and go back and look at it in the version that you are most comfortable with. But I'm using the Message because the Message is written in everyday vernacular that will, you know, really just bring it home. I mean, we have an hour in our segment. And I don't have a lot of time, so I really need to just bring it home. And I think that for this, I need to really give it to people in the Message. And also, I like the Message because it takes the word in context. It's not just one scripture. And, you know, just as a quick Bible lesson to those of you who you're reading and studying your Bibles, you're teaching other people, you're learning for yourself, never take a scripture, just one scripture by itself. Always read a scripture in context. That means at least the verse before it and the verse after it, so you can gain an understanding of what that scripture really means. It is so easy to get tripped up and not really understand what a scripture means or apply it to something that should not be applied to in our lives because we are taking it out of context. And so please just take that history lesson right there. Save yourself some time and take
some time. Exactly. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So we're going to start right with Matthew 6:33. And, you know, the first thing that I'm going to say, in order to keep God centered, I mean, if you want to accomplish anything in life, I don't care what it is, whatever it is that you are trying to accomplish, as a Christian, you cannot do it if the way you need to do it if you don't make God the center first, all right?
Right.
And make room for him. That's number one, make room for him. Let me tell you first the reason why we want to do things the way God wants us to do them, okay? And when you do things the way God wants you to do them, you avoid the obstacles that are unnecessary, okay? There are many obstacles out there, and God will allow us to go through many obstacles. But some obstacles, I truly believe, are unnecessary because they are things that we choose to do ourselves. Remember, we have free will. So God does not come down and force us to move in any one direction. He does not force us to be in relationship with any people. He does not force us to turn left or to turn right. He may suggest, but we don't have to accept it. And we may choose to go another way, or we may choose to add things to it. But, you know, we don't have to do everything completely out of the context of the way God wants us to do. A great example of that was when, you know, God told Abraham to get out of his country and to move to another land where he's going to show him. And Abraham did that, but he took Lot with him, his nephew. And, you know, bringing Lot with him caused a problem because Lot was able to prosper just like Abraham was. Why? Because he was under the covenant that God had with Abraham. And so as Abraham became great, Lot became great. But that became a problem because their servants were fighting each other over the land. And so Abraham had to say, listen, Lot, we're both very prosperous men. There's plenty of land here. Why don't we separate? You take whatever land you want. Look at all around this land. Take whatever land you want, and you go your way with your people. Let's stop this confusion. Lot chooses, of course, the greatest of the land, the green of the land. And if you know the story, you know he ends up in Sodom and Gomorrah with his family, this place that was vile, where all kinds of sin was rampant, and all kinds of, there was just all kinds of stuff. You need to read the story, because if you really read the story and understand it in its fullness, you will understand that a lot of the stuff that's going on now is not new.
No.
It was going on back in the day, all right? Back in that day. And so, you know, what I'm saying is that if Abraham had not, I mean, it got so bad that God came down and said, listen, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham didn't want that to happen because his family was there, you know?
Right.
And so, you know, and then God has to send angels to go and rescue Lot and his family. And then his wife ends up, you know, because of the lust in her heart, not making it. So, you know, all that could have been avoided, all right? And then, there, you know, what happened with Lot and his daughters, it was just a mess. Okay?
Yeah, it was
so all of that could have been avoided. All right?
Mm-hmm.
And imagine Abraham watching this. His heart is breaking. Because he loves his nephew. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So this could have been avoided had Abraham chose the way he was supposed to go. You know?
Right.
And not just, and just separated without Lot being with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you also see that that Abraham also, you know, offered up his wife. Abraham did a lot of things that weren't really right, things that God would have said, no, don't do that.
Stop.
Because
don't
he was
stop.
Human. Okay?
Yes.
But it's no than what we do. All right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's because we are making room for our fear and not making room for God. Okay?
Amen.
So in Matthew 6:31-33, I'm going to read this straight out of the message, and it says, if God, Matthew 6:30-33, if God gives such attention to the appearance of wildflowers, most of which are never even seen, don't you think he'll attend to you, take pride in you, do his best for you? What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax, to not be so preoccupied with getting, so you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way he works fuss over these things. But you know both God and how he works.
Right.
Keep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provision. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. All right? We That's worry comforting. About so many things. And he says, if God attends to these wildflowers, which are never even going to be seen, don't you think that he's going to attend to you, do his best for you? You know?
Yes.
Stop being so preoccupied with getting what you need to get and start being preoccupied with what God gives. If we would
right.
wake up in the morning and stop being concerned with all the things that we have to do, but let the first thing out of our mouth say, for what you have given. God, thank you for your favor, which is activated over my life right now, so that I don't even have to work hard today. God, uh-huh. thank you that I can rest in you and watch how your favor hunts me now to ensure that I get everything that I need. God, thank you for your daily provision, your daily bread for this day. If we would set our minds to begin to think like that instead of
mm-hmm.
waking up and saying, ooh, I don't have this. Ooh, I got to make sure I do that. Ooh, I have to do this
yeah.
because I need to get this. And
mm-hmm.
I need to.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of being preoccupied with our plan, all right?
Absolutely.
If we can start becoming preoccupied with knowing that God has given us the provision for this day, that God has already ordered our steps for this day, that God already has a plan for us in this day. God has already ordained people that we will meet in this day that are going to help us. God has already ordained, you know, the opportunities for this very day. Don't worry about tomorrow's opportunities because we haven't gotten to tomorrow. Tomorrow's not promised. What if you don't wake
Mm-mm.
up tomorrow and you spent all day today working on tomorrow's provision? Work on receiving
yeah.
what God gave to you today. Remember when the Israelites were in the wilderness and they needed to be fed, and God fed the manna when? Every day. He said, don't try to save it for tomorrow. And when they tried
yes.
to save it for the next day, that provision for the day before spoiled. Why? Because today's provision is not for tomorrow's provision. God provides for you every single day. So you need to get your mind wrapped about that. It is not about what you have done to earn it. You haven't done anything. It happens
mm-hmm.
because he is so good.
Mm-hmm.
It happens because he is so merciful. It happens because he is so filled with grace. It happens because he is so filled with love. It happens because God is a blessing. This
yes.
is simply what he does. It is not about you. You cannot earn the provision of God. He does
mm-hmm.
it because he is so good. The moment we try to justify why we should earn it is when we really fall short. And that's why we feel the need, we must do this and we must do that and we must do this. Why? Because God is not going to meet our needs. I'm afraid that God won't be here. Why? Because you know that you're falling short. Even
right.
when you go to him and you ask him for forgiveness and you are back in right standing with him, you recognize that you have fallen short. Stop putting faith in yourself and put faith
right.
in him. Okay?
Amen.
A word
Amen.
For all of you who are planners. Stop planning everything out and just plan to put some time for him in your schedule.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we plan everything else in life, but we don't plan often. Some of us do, but we don't plan often or with any kind of consistency to put God in our schedule. Well, you know, Kim, I hear what you're saying. I'm really busy. I have so much going on. I have this
mm-hmm.
to do, I have kids, I have school, I have work, I have all these priorities, I have all this stuff. But do you know that without God, you cannot accomplish anything, but with him,
Amen.
You can accomplish it all?
Yes.
You know,
yes.
you need to find a way to get your mind in a meditative space so that you can be with God in a second, in the midst of all your chaos and all of your confusion. You need to
mm-hmm.
learn how to pray when you're in the shower. Instead of making plans for your day, pray while you're in the shower. Pray while
mm-hmm.
you're doing your hair. Pray while you're putting your makeup on. Make your car a sacred space of praise and worship to him. Maybe you can't do that every week, every day. Maybe you're not ready. But can you do it one day a week? Can you do it for your commute in on Wednesday or your commute out on Thursday? You know, can you just give him some time and watch what happens as you begin to put yourself in this place of peace? You know, one of the things that I have to tell you that people always say to me is that they say, Kim, you know, when I'm around you, I just feel so at peace. And I say, praise God. Because I have learned how to make sure that in the moment I can go to that place of peace and presence with God. You know, I'm not saying that I'm always there and that I'm always right in this. But I do know this, that when I start feeling uneasy in my spirit, I recognize, okay, Kim, it's time for you to come aside to God. And sometimes when I take that moment, I step aside, he'll say, you know, I've been trying to get your attention all day. Kim, I've been trying to talk to you for the past 3 days.
Yes.
I'm so sorry, Lord. What is it that you need from me? You know what I'm saying? And sometimes he says, I just want to tell you I love you.
Uh-huh.
I just want to tell you that I'm thinking about you.
Yes.
I just want you to be sensitive to my presence. Do you understand that your very life and your very death depends upon you being able to be sensitive to the Spirit and understand, having discernment, that's what I'm talking about, and understand when God is speaking to you? Because by listening to that Spirit of God, it can stop you from a whole heap of trouble.
Yes.
But when you allow the noise of the world, and I'm not talking just people trying to come at you, I'm talking about your noise. I'm talking about you and your mind saying, I got to pay this bill, I got to pay that bill, I got to think about this situation. Do you not know that God knows what you need to do?
Hey,
there is nothing that you need to do that God doesn't know. As a matter of fact, God knows more about what you need to do than you do. Because God is on the other side of the situation, and he's watching the bill collectors who are pulling your name out of the hat. You know, he's watching the bills that are about to come in. He understands that stuff. He's watching all of the stuff in your life that's going to affect you. And you know where he's looking at it? From the end of your life. He's already walked this out.
Yes.
So there's nothing in your life that catches him by surprise. It only catches you by surprise. But it doesn't have to catch you by surprise all of the time if you know how to listen to him. You know, it's God who is saying to you, listen, don't buy that today. Put that money aside. Because he knows in a few days you're going to need that money. Or he knows in a few days somebody's going to give you that very thing that you're going to buy. He knows that in a few days the price of that item is going to come down. And you can go and get it then and have money left over. See, God already knows. He's setting you up to win. Okay? So make sure that you are really remaining cognizant and learning how to hear the voice of God for yourself. Make room for him.
Matthew 6:30-33. I woke up at about 2 o'clock this morning, and the first thing that came to my mind is, what is it that God wants me to do? Because, you know, and that's exactly what you're talking about, you know, being able to hear him, being able to spend time with him, being able to make yourself available for when he wants to spend time with you. Absolutely.
Yes.
All
it's
right.
Key. It's key.
Yes.
All right.
It is.
Item number two, in order to keep God the center, is make peace a practice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, peace is a practice. Peace is something that you have to practice doing. All right? And if you allow the world to disrupt you, then it will. It's very simple. If you allow peace, though, to be the thing, your go-to thing in the midst of crisis, then that's what will happen. You know, the world will tell you, if you really want to know how people react in the midst of a crisis, if you really want to know where people are spiritually, watch how they act in the midst of a crisis.
Right.
Okay? Because if you are truly Christ-centered in the midst of a crisis, that's where you're going first. And when you're not really anchored in, if you're not really trusting God to be all things for you and to help you see your way through things, you're not going to think about God when that crisis hits. We are all going to face crisis. One of the worst things that you could do is set people up to believe that by coming to Christ means you won't have problems.
Oh.
We're going to have problems. I mean, that's just the way of the world. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But the scripture that I want you to go to is John 14. And in context, it's 25 to 27. And I'm going to read from the message. And it says, I'm telling you these things while I'm still living with you. This is Jesus speaking. The friend, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send at my request, will make everything plain to you. He will remind you of all the things I have told you. I'm leaving you well and whole. That's my parting gift to you, peace. I don't leave you the way you're used to being left, feeling abandoned, bereft. So don't be upset. Don't be distraught. He was talking to the disciples when he was letting them know that he needed to leave. You know, his time was near. He knew he was going to be crucified. And they were, of course, distraught. And they have turned their lives upside down and followed this man for 3 years. And he's talking about he's leaving. What are you talking about? I've made my home with you, walked all over the world with you, the known world with you. And I'm an outcast now as a result of you. And you're going to tell me you're leaving?
Mm-hmm.
I'm depending on you. Okay? And Jesus said, listen, the Father is going to send the friend, the comforter, the counselor, the Holy Spirit, because I'm asking him to send him. And until I go, he can't come. Now, here's the thing you have to understand about Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Understand, we are worshiping a triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But as long as Jesus was there, Jesus could only be at one place and one time because he was there as a man. But the Holy Spirit is everywhere at all times. And
Amen.
So the Holy Spirit is all-knowing. And the Holy Spirit, being one with the Father and the Son, knows all things. And the Holy Spirit, being our friend, is going to, as he said, make everything plain to you. And not only that, you don't have to worry about remembering anything. Because he's going to remind you of everything that you have learned through me. Praise the Lord.
All the things
that you have learned in your life about God that are the truth. Okay, let me just help you with that. All the things that you have learned that are the truth about God, you don't have to worry about remembering them. Man will have you all worried and concerned because you don't know all these scriptures by heart. Now listen, it's good to know scripture. But don't get yourself all amped up if you don't. Because that's the Holy Spirit's job. And more so than knowing scripture, the Holy Spirit is going to teach you to know God's truth. And God's truth may not come to you by the word of the scripture, meaning when he comes to you, he may not teach you and speak to you in the language of the King James that we are often used to reading. He might talk to you and say, listen, man, don't be doing that because it's wrong. Listen, girl, I done told you before, moving and walking down that street is bad for you. Don't go that way again. You see what I'm saying? God's truth is going to come to you in a way that you understand. And you're going to know it in the spirit. You're going to just, it's going to be one of those things you're going to say, people are going to say, how did you know that? I just knew.
Mm-hmm.
You won't be able to explain it. You're going to say, I just knew.
Right.
Okay? You have to make peace a practice. You have to say in the morning, Father, I do have some things that concern me, but I trust you. I do have some things that are bothering you, me, but I know that all things work together for the good of them that know you.
Right.
You know, I'm in the midst of this situation. It doesn't really make any sense. But I know that even though it's not a great thing, if you allowed it, you have given me what I need to go through it, and I'm going to be better on the other side. You know, you have to trust God. And if you trust God that he loves you and that he's not going to harm you and that he's not going to allow anything to come against you that's going to kill you, but only that's going to make you stronger and better and bring you into fullness, then no matter what it is that you go through, you can go through it with a sense of peace. You know, at a time in my life was going through, oh, my gosh, I was going through so much stuff. And it was very public, some of the stuff that I was going through. It was very public at work. And the woman said to me, one of the girls that I worked with looked at me one day. She said, Kim, how do you come here every day? And how do you deal with it? And I looked at her and I said, okay, see this circle that I'm drawing on this paper? Consider that circle my world. See that dot? That dot is how important this stuff is in comparison to the world that I'm living in. Because God's got me. All of this circle is where God is covering me. But that dot, that's what I'm going through. And I'm resting in him right now. I may not like it.
Amen.
It may be difficult. But I know that I will be vindicated in the end. And the truth of the matter is, I was. Through every lie that was told about me, through every bad word that was said about me, through every person that was looking at me sideways, not knowing what it is, you know, what to believe, I was vindicated. And all the people that were saying things about me had to come back and apologize. All the people that were doing things and believing the wrong thing had to come back and say, I'm so sorry I had you wrong. I mean, when I say vindicated, I mean like a crown on my head. I'm talking vindicated. Why? Because I rested in God. I chose not to say, you know what, I'm going to get my revenge. I'm going to do this. Because, you know, when we get mad, we want to do things to people. But I learned, if I learned nothing else back then, and I was in my early 20s learning this lesson, and it changed the course of my life. I learned, let God handle it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what happens in the midst of you going through that stuff? People are watching you, and they come to you and say, you're a Christian, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
And you have an opportunity now to witness to people about the peace that passes all understanding. You see, we should not be crazy and acting like we have no hope because something happened. You know, we have no business behaving like that because we have a God who we know is up in heaven and he's big and he's vast, but he's looking at the very hairs on our head and saying, hair number 323 is coming out, so I'm going to make sure that you get a hair number 324. You see what I'm saying? Like, God is just so awesome like that. And when you know that God cares for you like that, you should have a peace. That doesn't make any sense. You should be crippled. You should be bowed down. You should be broken.
Mm-hmm.
You should be confused.
Mm-hmm.
You should be feeling all kinds of ways. But you're not feeling that way. Why? Because you have a peace that passes all understanding. It doesn't make any sense, but you know that you win. It doesn't make any sense, but you know that the victory is already here. It doesn't make any sense, but you know that God is your comforter, and it is okay. It is okay.
Absolutely.
You know, but you have to practice. Now, for those of you who are about to pray, God, help me practice peace, I'm telling you, be careful. Because if you ask God to help you practice peace, understand that you're going to come against a situation that's going to force you to practice.
We
forget these things when we get all high up and we're like, God, anything you want. And then God gives you a situation to prove yourself. So before, I'm cautioning you. Before you say, God, help me have the peace that passes all understanding. Help me to be that way, because I guarantee you what you're going to get is a situation that's going to force you to say, oh, my God, I want to curse this person out. But I need to hold my tongue and have peace. You know, you're going to have a situation that's going to test your very limit. if you ask God for that. And I say that because I believe that in the spirit, I believe that somebody already put that out there into the atmosphere and said, God, I want to be that person. I want to be like that.
Yes.
That's a situation. But just remember, you have the ability to overcome it, and God is going to show you that peace. All right?
Amen.
Ooh,
amen.
Yeah, we are 7:35 already. I got to move on. So we're talking about how to keep God the center of your life so that you can accomplish the things that he has for you. We're almost at half the year. We have one more month and 6 months with the past 2015 to be about the goals that God gave us. And it's time for us to move forward. I mean, whatever it is that he told you in January, we should be executing some of those things. We should have already seen some of those things come to pass. We should have already gotten to a point where we're making some strides. So if you're not, it's okay. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Begin to do it now. Understand,
right,
there's no such thing as missing any time with God. He has a way of catching you up so that you can be where,
yes,
you need to be. Don't believe
the
world. The world will say you're 6 months behind. You're not 6 months behind. God will catch you up so that you still finish not only on time, but maybe even early. All right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's go
Amen.
Ahead and keep God first so that we can move forward. So how do we keep God first? Number three, you need to remember to ask for what you need. You know,
huh?
So often as Christians, we don't do that. The Bible says you have not because you ask not.
Yes, you
God
have
knows
not
what
asked.
You need, but, you know, there is an exchange that has to go on between you and God. God is,
yes,
not just going to put something in your lap. You need to ask him, all right? And sometimes you're going to ask God, and God's going to say, I hear you asking, but prove that you need it. What do I mean by that? I'll give you an easy example.
Okay.
There are people out there who want to go to school. I use this example all the time because it makes sense. There are many people who want to go to college. And we're coming to that time of year where a lot of seniors are about to graduate. We might have some people who never went to college. They want to go to college. They want to go to secondary school of some type. What is the one thing that typically stops people from going? Money.
Money.
Right? Money. God, give me the money. God, give me the money. God, give me the money. God says, okay, I'll give you the money. And you're sitting there and you're waiting for the money. And then the months pass, you're like, God, you didn't give the money. And God says, that's because you didn't register for school.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You have to do something to put pressure,
yes,
to force that thing, to force it into to be activated in your life.
Right? People do not believe that, you know, I have to say this, but people do not believe that you can actually go to God and give him his word and wait for him. It almost challenge him, you know?
Absolutely.
God,
you told me. Your word says, okay, well, let's, you know what, how about this? Let's go to the word, okay? Let's go to the word, all right? Let's see, which word do I want to take you? Blah, 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 blah. Let's see, where am I? Remember, ask God for, okay, so Hebrews, all right? Is that the
okay.
one? Did I write it? Hold on. Yeah, it's Hebrews, I'm just looking because I don't think I actually put it, copied it on my paper, but it's Hebrews 4, and in context it's 14 through 16. We are to approach the throne boldly.
Yes.
Okay. We are, oh, here it is, to approach the throne boldly. It says, now that we know what we have, Jesus, this high priest with ready access to God, let's not let it slip through our fingers. We don't have a high priest who is out of touch with with our reality. He's been through weakness and testing, experienced it all but the sin. So let's walk right up to him and get what he is ready to give. Take the mercy, accept the help.
Exactly.
Jesus came here and he lived a human experience as a human being. We forget that. All right? Is he God? Yes. God is three persons, but he was fully felt everything that we did. And as a full human being, he walked the earth without sin. The only thing that he did not experience that we have is sin.
It's sin.
That's why he was the perfect sacrifice.
Yes.
The perfect
Blameless.
Sacrifice. Okay? But it says here, We understand. We have an understanding what we have. We have Jesus, a great high priest, and we know that where is he? Sitting at the right hand of God. He has ready access to God. Why are we letting it slip through our fingers? And not only that, he is ready to give us whatever we need.
Mm-hmm.
So why do we not ask for what we need?
Because we think we don't deserve it.
Most of the time it's because we don't deserve it. It is not about what we have earned. Jesus has paid the price. See, have you ever gone to get a cup of coffee and the person in front of you paid for it? Have you ever gone to a toll or heard of someone going to a toll and the person in front of them paying for it? You know, we say that we want to call that paying it forward. You go to the toll, you pay for yourself and the car behind, you know, and you hope that person pays for the car behind them and you keep it going for a while, right? You know, Jesus has already paid the price. See, it's like going to Target and filling up your basket with a whole bunch of stuff and getting to the register. And as soon as they say, okay, that's $125, somebody say, here, take my card. Use my card for that.
Wow.
All right?
Yes.
Jesus has already paid the price. And although it was paid over 2,000 years ago, all right, he knew the cost for everything that you would need to be paid. He already knew.
Mm-hmm.
He only paid that, but he paid more.
Yes. For those things that we do not.
Understand that when you go to Target and you have $125 worth of stuff and that person comes with their card and they pay it, they say, you know what, I'm not going to give you the card. I'm going to give you $200 in cash and give them the change. Okay? This is what Jesus does for us. He paid not only the cost, but he paid the more. And he is ready to say, he's ready. He's like, what else do you need? I can't wait to get it in your hand. I can't wait to show you how good I am. I can't wait to bless you. You know, all the showy stuff of our Christian world, it's not only Christ meeting our needs, but it is the show for those who are sinners so that they can see how good our God is. So when we do not ask for what we need, we are not showing those who don't know him in spirit and in truth how wonderful he truly is, because we're so busy still suffering. No reason for the suffering, because the price was already paid. We're still living here suffering, and they're looking at us saying, I could be bad all by myself. I don't need that. I could do that. But if you show them how to receive what they need, trust me, they're going to start talking to you about your God. They're going to start paying different attention to the word that they're learning. You know, let us not forget that it's not only those who are unsaved or unchurched who need this. It is those who are going to church every single Sunday that are learning how to work and walk out this word. Okay?
Right.
Because we're all on a walk to learn how to work it out and walk it out. So accept it. Go boldly to the throne and ask for it. All right? Mm-hmm. Number four, we need to accept God's direction. All right? I already told you that God is going to give us the Holy Spirit, all right? And if you look at John 16, in context, verses 12 through 15, all right, it says, Jesus answered, I told you, but you don't believe. Everything I've done has been authorized by my Father. Actions that speak louder than words. You don't believe because you're not my sheep. My sheep recognize my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them real and eternal life. They are protected from the destroyer for good. No one can steal them out of my hands. The Father who put them under my care is so much greater than the destroyer and the thief. No one could ever get them away from him. I and the Father are one heart and mind. Look, Jesus is saying, look, when you lose your mind, you are mine. The enemy can't have you. You are mine for always. Don't worry about anything that you think that might cause you to not be good enough to be part of the sheepfold that I have. I have already accepted you, and as a result, I'm going to give you the directions that are necessary for your life.
Yes.
I'm giving it
to you.
All you need to do is take it and run with it. As you begin to hear the voice of God, take that direction. Run with it. As the Holy Spirit begins to talk to you about what it is that you need to do and what you need to accomplish and what steps to make and how to behave, do it. Take it. And watch what happens in your life. Things will happen so quickly. All right?
All right.
Number five,
right.
Listen out for God. This part goes with that. All right?
Listen out for what?
For God.
Okay.
Okay. You know what? I got so excited. The verse that I just gave you was the one that belongs to this. All right? Hold on. Listen out for God. That was John 10, verses 25 to 30 in context. But here's the other verse, John 16, verses 12 through 15. This is Jesus still speaking, he says, because he's talking about the Holy Spirit, right?
John 10,
25 to 30.
25 to 30. Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right. The other verse is John 16, 12 through 15. This is speaking about the Holy Spirit. This is what Jesus says about the Holy Spirit. Okay? Jesus is talking. He says, I still have many things to tell you, but you can't handle them now. But when the friend comes, the Spirit of truth, he will take you by the hand and guide you into all the truth there is. He won't draw attention to himself, but will make sense out of what is about to happen, and indeed, out of all that I have done and said. He will honor
right.
me. He will take from me and deliver it to you. Everything the Father has is also mine, and that is why I've said he takes from me and delivers to you. See, all those two things go together, accepting God's direction and listening out for God. And we do that through the Holy Spirit, okay? He says there are going to be some things that you may not really understand. It's okay. Because the Holy Spirit understands.
Yes.
Right? Remember, he says, I'm going to remind you of all the things that you learned, but there are going to be some things that you don't understand. And it's okay because what you don't understand, the Holy Spirit understands, and he's going to give it to you anyway. I love that.
Too.
You still can't move.
No.
Whether you
win-win
understand
situation.
It or you don't, you win. See, it's just
you
like
win.
The mystery of Christ on the cross. You may not understand why his death gives us eternal life. But if you believe that he's the Messiah that God sent, you may not even know why you believe it. But if you believe it, you still get all the benefits.
You're right.
You don't have to understand it.
Mm-mm.
It doesn't have to make logical sense to you. You just have to say, you know what? It don't make any sense at all, but I believe it.
I believe it.
I believe he died for me. I believe that he didn't sin. I believe that I'm covered. I don't know why I believe it, but I do. It sounds crazy, but I believe it. And you know what? You may not understand it. And you know what? It does sound crazy, but it is true. And you still get all the benefits. Of it all. Okay?
Amen.
All the benefit of it all. The last two things, step six and seven, they go together. And step six, I'm going to say it like this. Stop living like it's still Friday. Stop living like it's still Friday. You could take any crucifixion story. Luke 23, the story of the crucifixion. We say Jesus was crucified on Friday. And we live like it's Friday. What happened on Friday? People were confused. People were afraid. The disciples scattered because they were like, man, this man that we've been following, he's been convicted. They're going to kill him. They're going to come after us next. We look like fools. They were ashamed. They were embarrassed. They were like, isn't he the one that did all these miracles? Isn't this the one that we just had communion with? Isn't this the one that, you know, put the ear of the soldier back on, the one who came to arrest him? Isn't this the one that caused Lazarus to rise from the dead? Isn't this the one that fed 5,000 with just a few sheep, so you know, a few fish and a few loaves of bread? Isn't this the one that walks on water? Isn't this the one that actually calmed the sea with just by just telling it peace, be still? And yet he's dying. I don't understand this. And they come in there. He's going to be dead, and they're coming after me. They were afraid.
They were
terrified.
Yes. Yeah.
And they and that was Friday. Friday was midnight. It was dark. And many of us, even though we're in Christ, we are living like there's not really any hope. Living like the crucifixion is going to take place and going to kill us. Living like that we're next, that we're on the chopping block next. Living like there's no hope. Living in a way where we're embarrassed because we're the ones hung out on that cross, and people are looking at us and pointing at us and saying, you're supposed to be some kind of king. You're supposed to be loved by God. You're supposed to be the one that God cares so much for. You're the one who's not supposed to be sick. You're the one who's supposed to have all your needs met. You're the one who's not supposed to have any issues. You're the one, right? Isn't that the God that you serve? We keep living like this Friday. You know, it's Friday. We need to stop living like it's Friday. I'm going to read to you 2 Corinthians chapter 10 in context verses 16 through 20. It says, because of this decision, we don't evaluate people by what they have or how they look. We look at the Messiah that way once. We looked at the Messiah that way once and got it all wrong. And we certainly don't look at him that way anymore. You know, we looked at the Messiah at one time hanging on the cross and thought, you know what, this man is crazy. Maybe I was wrong in following him. But we learned. We learned different. We don't look at him that way anymore. Now we look inside. And what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start. Anyone that is united with the Messiah is created new. The old life is gone. A new life version. Look at it. All this comes from the God who settled the relationship between us and him. And then called us to settle our relationship with each other. God put the world square with himself through the Messiah, giving the world a fresh start by offering forgiveness of sins. God has given us the task of telling everyone what he is doing. We're Christ's representatives. God uses us to persuade men and women to drop their differences and enter into God's work of making things right, right between them. We're speaking for Christ himself now. Become friends with God. He's already a friend with you. Stop living like it's Friday. It's already been done. Stop living like it's Friday. We looked at the Messiah the wrong way before, but now we got it. We understand. And now we don't look at the outside. We don't look at what it seems like he's doing. You know, we thought he was just performing some miracles. We thought that he was just teaching something, a few great lessons. You know, we thought that he was just raising people from the dead. But no. We see something greater. We see that if we are united with him, that we get a fresh start, that we're created new. And the old life that we live, that old way of thinking, that old way of settling issues, all of that stuff is gone. And we now live a new life in Christ. You know,
amen.
A fresh start with God. We are now his favorite. We are now joined with him. We are joint heirs with Christ. We are his representative, joint heirs. We are not, you know, somewhere down the line. We are sisters and brothers equal with him. And just as he receives from God, we receive from him. Stop living like it's Friday. And number 7 is accept your responsibility. We have a responsibility now, you know?
Yeah, yes.
And that responsibility is that we need to now live like people who understands who we are. And we are Christ's representatives. And we now need to persuade other men and women to take a look at Christ again. I know you got saved before, but look at him again. I know that you believed before, but I want you to look at him anew. Look at him a fresh new way. I know that you're teaching the word, but I want you to look at him again. I know you accepted your call, but I want you to look at God again. I know that you are teaching and preaching in the church. I want you to look at God again. I know that you have led many to Christ. I want you to look at God again. See, we think that we have the formula and we have it all done. We think that because we are saved and that we are filled and that we have this message down and we can convert people, that we have it all done. But no, God says, I want you to look at me again. Every time you read scripture over and over, there's a new revelation. And God is calling you and he's saying, make me the center and look at this again.
Look at it again.
I have something new. I have something greater. Because what you're doing is not fulfilling your needs. What you're doing doesn't have you as thirsty for me as you used to be. What you're doing does not pay your bills the way it used to. What you're doing, it might have been nice, but it's not as satisfying. And I have something new. Look at it again.
Make
God the center. I encourage you, make God the center and get moving on those goals. Just keep taking steps. And as you take the steps, just watch God meet your needs.
Amen. Oh, amen. Everyone, this, woo, yeah, you made it through. You made it through, but there's some powerful, powerful teaching, and I appreciate the lessons for today. I encourage everyone to spread this link around, listen to it again, get those Bible verses down, and actually work it. Work your faith.
Thank you.
Because that's
Jesus.
All you're talking about. Yes, absolutely. All right. Well, I will definitely see you next month. Everyone, look out on the social medias for the date and the time. Usually the second Tuesday, and just we're going to confirm the time on the social media outlets. And we got to roll out of here like we always do with how great thou art. Pastor Horvath, I shall speak to you later.
Amen. God bless you, sir.
Amen.
God bless everybody.
God bless. All right.
All right.